Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Our thanks to Patrick Sharp for joining us. He, of course, with NBC Sports Chicago. Sharpie, good morning. How are you?
Good morning, Patrick.
Hey, guys. How are we doing? Good morning.
You know, we were discussing it this morning that Taser, that was his 12th overtime goal. And you look at the list of guys on that list. Marian Hossa had 8 of them, as did you. What does that feel like? What's it like when you get a game winner? And, I mean, it was so much fun to see the bench clear and everybody running out there. What tell us that experience.
It's a pretty good feeling. And I saw that graphic yesterday as well. Pat Boyle put it on the broadcast post-game, and I was surprised to see my name sitting on 8 with – it made me feel good because little Patrick Kane had 7 overtime goals. Sharp had 8. So I'm sure Kane will finish with about 20 at the end of his career. But it's a good feeling because, you know, sometimes you might not do much in the game as an individual. And when it's overtime, you perk up a little bit and you have that chance one shot and end the game. So that's what happened last night. Jonathan made an awesome move in the offensive zone to end the game. It probably wasn't the Hawks' best game in recent weeks, but hey, after what we saw in November and in the standings way back then, to see the Hawks this close to making the playoffs, we'll take the points however we can get them.
It's fun, Patrick, and I think when you see the 6-game win streak that followed so many tough nights for the Blackhawks, you look at some of the reasons why, and certainly there's Kane and there's Taze, and we can talk about them. I think Dylan Strome, that acquisition made such an impact that I think people weren't sure what to expect with the guy in with the Coyotes who was underachieving. He's got 26 points in 32 games since coming over. His chemistry with Alex DeBrincat, his former Erie Otters teammate, is unmistakable. How do you explain a guy benefiting that much from a change of scenery, and how big has he been?
I think it was exactly that, the change of scenery that kind of sparked his game a little bit. Listen, if you've met Dylan Strome and you get a chance to talk to him, he's a guy that loves the game of hockey. You know, I'm not going to call him a hockey nerd. That seems to be a common phrase in today's game. He's just a guy that loves the game. He wants to compete. He's from Canada, grew up loving the game. He was a stud in junior hockey and, of course, picked high in the draft. There's going to be lots of expectations, but not everybody starts their careers like Connor McDavid or Jack Eichel, Austin Matthews, guys that were picked around him. Sometimes it takes a little bit longer to develop, and I think getting out of Arizona, coming to a hockey market in Chicago, playing with his good friend Alex DeBrincat doesn't hurt. I mean, he started his first 10 or 15 games playing alongside Patrick Kane, and you could see that his game was close, but it wasn't quite polished, and it just seems like he's getting better and better, and some of those passes he made last night to set up the Cat were impressive, and what a move they stand on, because at the time I was like a lot of other people. I didn't really know what to expect from Dylan Strome. I'd seen him play. I wasn't too high on his game, but I have changed completely. I think he's a future stud of this team, and if we can have that duo, DeBrincat and Strome, producing at the level that they are now, and allows Kane and Taves to play together, all of a sudden you got 2 offensive units out there. It's good things can happen for the Hawks.
It's very interesting, their season, because they started out fairly strong, and then they obviously struggled for a long portion of the season, and now they're back and winning 6 games in a row. What is it like for a team when you start building that kind of momentum? It's almost – you almost start winning out of habit.
Yeah, everything just snowballs. Confidence gets high. You ride that momentum, and I think one of the positives with this team, well, I know it's a positive, is all that it's been through this year. I mean, every – team that has, you know, a successful season has to go through some kind of adversity. And when you look at the Hawks, I think the guys came back with the right mindset. They wanted to improve off of what happened last year. They didn't want to go back to that disaster of a season, but I think they got off to a good start. But it just didn't look smooth out there. And when you go through a coaching change like these guys did, Jeremy taking the team over at 33 years old, an unproven coach, there's a lot of question marks. A lot of reasons to just kind of say, what are we doing here after we had a bad season last year? Now we're on pace to have another one. Well, if you look at what Jeremy's been able to do since he's taken over the team, it's pretty incredible. I mean, we talked about the power play last night on the broadcast. There was a point in the season where the Hawks were in last place in the standings, last place on the power play, and last place on the penalty kill. And since mid-December, this team's clicking at about 40% on the power play. That is ridiculous. If you're at 20%, that's a good number, and you should get in the playoffs. Hawks are clicking at 40% right now with no signs of showing down. So I believe Jeremy Calton has his hands all over that power play. It's incredible to watch. He's had the same five guys together for a long time. There's no reason why they can't be together next year, that same five-man unit. And it seems like they've opened up some options on that power play. They're seeing the routes, and they're just filling the net. Another couple of goals last night on the PP.
Also, I think when you see the impact that the, Cam Ward has been, pretty steady. I think Colin Delia has been a revelation. And I think, Patrick, when you see the way the goaltending has been good enough for the Hawks to do what they've done with the power play to take advantage of that momentum, all sorts of things become possible. Is Corey Crawford somebody that you would count on later in the season if this run continues and if the playoff kind of hunt becomes a reality? You get Crawford back, and then your imagination really starts to go wild.
I know. Isn't it unbelievable to sit here and we're talking about this with the Hawks? Like, a couple of weeks ago, we wouldn't be having this conversation. But as far as Corey Crawford, I don't want to speculate on how he's feeling or if he's going to come back at all. I know he's on the ice. He seems to be moving well. I've seen him off the ice, and he's having conversations. He's in good moods. He's in good spirits. So I would like to think that there's an opportunity that he comes back. And when you look a couple of weeks down the road, we got a trade deadline coming up, right? Mm-hmm. Everybody thought that we're going to trade off all our assets and play out the rest of the season, give our young guys some valuable games. Well, hey, if you get number 50 back, that's probably going to be the best trade deadline acquisition that any team could make. And that's not taking anything away from Cam Ward and Colin Delia, who have been great. The thing about Crow is that he was playing so well last year and this year. I would like to see him play with this version of Blackhawks team. There were times on the broadcast this year that he let in four or five goals, Corey Crawford, and we were talking about what a star of the game he was, how many big saves, and how he was under fire all night long. Well, I know they're still giving up a lot of shots, but the quality of chances has gone way down. I think you put a goaltender like Crow back there, it's going to give this team a boost. But, hey, he's dealing with the head injury, and we know when he's going to rush him back. When he's ready to go, he'll be back, and hopefully that's sooner rather than later.
You mentioned the trade deadline. One of the big stories a week ago is this idea that it was reported that they wanted to, they had gone to Brent Seabrook to see if he'd be willing to waive his no-trade clause and be willing to be shipped out elsewhere and all of that stuff. What's your take on that sort of thing? You had a trade deadline, and when a team, they're in contention now, so it's a different viewpoint heading toward it, but it's still a ways off, and who knows, another week, you never know which way you're going, up or down. But they we mentioned playoff, you're in the playoff hunt. Does that sort of thing change the mind of management? And as a player, how aware are you of who could be in and out?
Well, for me, I heard the reports a couple of weeks ago. I was in Vail, Colorado. I'm an amateur downhill skier now, boys. I'm not sure if you got the memo on that.
Well, clear the slopes. Here he comes.
Exactly. It was a great trip. And I had heard rumblings of, I think first it was Duncan was asked and then Brent. And honestly, I feel like the guys in the locker room have rallied behind that because those guys came out and said it was untrue. It was news to them. And it's this time of year, February, trade deadline, or you're going to hear lots of rumors, lots of stories. You don't know what is true and what is false. And one thing I do know is that whatever Stan does as a general manager, it's going to be to improve this team. Okay, so he's got a vision. He's got an idea of what this team's going to look like this year, next year, and 5 years down the road. So I'm just going to trust that he's going to make moves to improve the team. But the incredible story here is the fact that we're sitting here talking about the Hawks being a game away from a playoff spot. And, I've been in the game a long time, played with this team for a long time. I'm being honest with you, back in November and December, when we were calling some of those games, I was not feeling very good about this team. So I got to put my hand up and say I was wrong. This team has impressed me. I'm not getting overly excited. It's still going to be a challenge to get to the playoffs. But, hey, the way they're playing and the confidence, the smiles in the locker room that we didn't see before, joking around at practice. These guys are having fun. They're playing loose, and that's when you always play your best hockey.
Yeah, and it's a credit to Jeremy Colliton. I think he deserves a little bit of credit. You said the power play impact is attributed to him, but I think also just overall the culture. He inherited a tough situation replacing a legend. Took him a while to get going, but I think that fairness says that, you know, give him some credit for what's happening here as well.
Yeah, could you imagine stepping in, not only to the National Hockey League at 33 years old, you're going to hear people looking at you, or you're going to see people looking at you funny. And, I mean, he looks different than every other coach in the league. He looks like he could still play the game. And plus, oh, by the way, you're replacing a legend in the city in Joel Quenneville that has won 3 Stanley Cups and knows a lot about the game and has been a staple for Blackhawks hockey. So not an easy situation to walk into. I credit Joel for handling it as well as he has. And at the same time, I credit Stan for some of the moves that he's made. I mean, I got a chance to hang around Drake Pajula the other day. I love how he's come into the team and embraced the Blackhawks. I mean, normally when you get traded to a team, you're kind of a fly on the wall in that locker room. This guy is yapping right away. He's a part of the conversation. He's playing on the line with Kane and Taves, which I know sounds awesome, but it can be difficult to play with those two. You're playing with two star players. So you got to work your way into that line. I don't think it's any coincidence that the team started playing better defensively when Connor Murphy came back from his back surgery that he had at the start of the season. So there's some moves that the team has made over the years that are finally starting to pay off. Everybody wants that instant gratification. Well, sometimes patience is best, and we're starting to see that now.
Patrick, thanks a ton. Great catching up with
thanks,
you. Really
Patrick.
Appreciate
Have a great weekend.
Yep.
All right, I got to go wax my skis. I'll talk to you.
Wow, downhill skiing.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.